We felt it was very lovely, very supportive to kind of meet you between us in the groups yesterday. And what we thought we could do next time, as we have this relatively small group, so we could just do one-to-one meetings. So we thought from tomorrow and then the following day, we'll invite you to a one-to-one meeting. And that leaves today quite free and available for you to request a one-to-one meeting if you feel that would be helpful for you. As a way of exploring your practice, what's going on here for you, and what's kind of showing up. As we know, our minds will also wander to the future, to other things like that. But at the moment, if possible, we'll kind of relate to those experiences and events that are relevant to practicing now, something that's kind of either coming from outside, but kind of something we're working with a lot in the practice, or actually just about the kind of the tools, the techniques, the things that we're exploring on the practice. So the assigned interviews will begin tomorrow. The invitations for that will go up tomorrow. And if you wish, you can meet with us today. And you know, don't hesitate from that. We're here for you. And we'd love to meet with you if that feels helpful. Otherwise, you don't have to. And feel free to enjoy the silence, the stillness. The practice as it goes. So I just want to add a few elements to our practice today, which is based around the same kind of ideas that we've been exploring from the beginning. This idea of GOM, becoming familiar with our experience, and then relating to it well, relating to it skillfully. Those kind of ideas that we had with the longer, deeper breathing, or the wider, or open listening. And as I mentioned in the group, if you enjoyed something like the metta practice that we did yesterday afternoon, you can bring that in more of the time into your practice as well and kind of consider that. So with this sense of GOM, becoming familiar with our experience, we can continue to explore that and see more and more ways that we can move towards a less and less judgmental attitude towards how things are. You know, we can kind of have a sense that as we become familiar with it, there's also a sense of, yeah, but it shouldn't actually be like this. Yeah. And just exploring how it can be is like, well, it is like this right now. And it doesn't have to end that way. But like in this moment, this is actually how it is right now. And how is it if we meet it in those different ways? As we become familiar with our experience, we can also use some of the ideas from yesterday's talk, which is there's always an energy level present. Yeah, there's always effort going into something somehow. And that can also be something that we bring this element of GOM. It's like, ah, how's my energy right now? And trying again, you know, as much as possible, non-judgmentally taking that in. Yeah. So, oh, I have low energy at the moment. And also understanding, as I'll detail a little bit more, and we spoke about last night, there's always something we can do to just adjust that somewhat. And sometimes that somewhat is a really big shift. Yeah. It's something in the way that we relate really changes how it unfolds. So GOM is asking, how am I right now? How is it right now in this body? How is the heart quality? How is the intellect, or what we might call the mind? And really no rush to get to the answer. Maybe the question is more supportive than the solution. Where is this body felt to be? How is the shape of this body? How did it get into this shape? particularly when we're listening. So I'm like, oh, well, how did I, when did I start doing that? And is that the most supportive way to be? Palms up, palms down, hands closer, further away, face tight, relaxed, all those little things. Are there areas of tension in the body? Are there parts of the body that actually we don't normally attend to and we could check in with? And they don't call a lot of our attention. With the heart, is the heart feeling kind of open, available? Does it feel more like it needs, or it's asking for protection? More closed? And whatever that is, can that be held in care? With that thinking, is the thinking busy? Is it quite quiet? Is it supporting us to feel gathered into a train of thought? Or is it actually dispersing us? And something I also like to just check is the thinking about what we're doing now? Right? Sometimes the thinking, we think, oh, I shouldn't be thinking, but the thinking is actually, oh, maybe we need to lengthen the breath. So a helpful thought. It's actually about the practice. It's related to that. Yeah. And through all of that, those are kind of expressions of our energy. Yeah. Where our energy's going, how our energy's going. And it can be helpful to start to relate from there. Ways to kind of regulate, adjust, move the energy. So we know that there can be a lot of restlessness. We know there can be a lot of dullness. And what I like to think is that dullness actually has a lot of the qualities that we're looking for, has a lot of that tranquility. Yeah. Oh, nice. You know, the tranquil, peaceful, quiet elements of the dullness experience, although it might be luring us down into sleep. And the restlessness has some beautiful qualities in it as well, that kind of vibrancy, aliveness that's coming into that experience. So we don't want to reject any of that, but maybe we want to harmonize it. So kind of bringing the tranquility from the dullness, but an element of aliveness, and getting to that kind of vibrant tranquility that we can feel at times. So, really alive and peaceful. And if we have a lot of that vibrancy and aliveness, but it's kind of pulling us around or making us feel shaken, can't get steady, is there a way of kind of bringing that towards more of that peacefulness, to get that vibrant tranquility? Yeah. Be present and awake. Not overly intense and not overly dull. There's a couple of things just to review them, just to mention them there. We mentioned last night this, what I find really helpful question from the Tibetan tradition is my attention too loose? Yeah. Or is it too tight? And there's an image that's sometimes used in the practice of like holding a downy feather, you know, one of the little feathers from the belly of a bird, you know, very, very light feathers. That you can let go. Can we hold that in the palm of the hand, not so loose that we kind of allow it to drop away? This is kind of a metaphor for our attention. And not so tight, we might crush it. Yeah. Is there some way of being sensitive to that, fully feeling with that, not too tight, not too loose? And this isn't something to get perfect, right? There isn't some kind of static thing like that effort set on five. You know, it's a sense, what does this need? And in any moment, maybe I'm a little too tight or a little too loose. And you don't have to get it right, but it can be kind of fun just to follow your intuition, just sense, I reckon it could be a bit looser. Once you get with that gone, we also get familiar with ourselves, what we tend to do. In a kind of a broader setting, we could place this within a phrase that this teacher I mentioned yesterday, Rob Babea, called modes of attention. So there's a mode of attention. Someone says to you, pay attention. You might tend to go to the mode of focus. Yeah. Oh, right. Squeezing in attention like a laser. That's a way of paying attention. But another mode of the attention is actually to widen it out and become just really receptive. Like we're just kind of opening our sensitivity. So if someone says to you, pay attention, you might go, ooh, I'll receive the whole space. Yeah. Like we turn that camera from its portrait mode to its landscape mode and take in more. This is interesting, a different way of attending. And within that, then, say we go to this receptive mode, less familiar with it. Again, do we need to tune in a bit more? We've got a bit too loose. Or do we need to relax and soften? Yeah, got a little bit too tight, intense. It's interesting to see exploring that different mode of attention. Could be a helpful thing that we could do today. So these elements, I'll introduce them into the practice a little bit as we go. When we're thinking about this parami quality of the virya, it's energy, effort, diligence, vigor, that virya quality that can be a far-reaching attitude for us. It's important to notice it's there in the teachings to overcome unwise effort. Yeah, well, we're putting a lot of our effort and energy into a story of greed and or a story of aversion, or energy and effort's going to go in there. So it is important that we also use that energy and effort to say, okay, enough of that now. It's not bad that it happened, but I don't want to keep going this way into the flood. Yeah. But stepping back from that. So what these teachings say, not only, you know, maybe we're being a bit too tight at one moment, maybe a bit too loose at another moment. What it also says is there will be a hindrance present in any moment to some degree. And sometimes they go really subtle, but to some degree. And sometimes it's really obvious. I am obviously sitting here thinking about lunch. You know, not thinking about the meditation. I'm thinking, I think I smelt something before I came out. Smells like, maybe they'll make this. Oh, I really like that. You know, and with, oh yeah. So it's very clear. I'm in a kind of greedy mindset or whatever else it is. I'm doing online shopping in my head or something. Yeah. Or I'm in a very aversive mind state. You know, I thought about something that I didn't like and I'm still thinking about that. And, you know, why do they, you know, why is it so cold? Or, you know, why did someone left the door open? Or why have they opened the windows again? You know, so, you know, you just kind of notice the mind is kind of going in those directions. But it does get really subtle as well. It does get really subtle as well. And we're going to speak a little bit more about that as we go on through the retreat. But what's particularly helpful is that capacity. I can actually direct my energy into different stories, yeah, different ways of relating. But I can actually just notice it on the level of energy. And this is something I do much of the time. I don't worry too much about the story. I actually just feel, oh yeah, there's a lot of restlessness in that. Activity, yeah. Or actually, thinking about this again is making me feel quite dull. Yeah, quite dull. And, you know, we want to be able to adjust that. What we say, move along that spectrum. Yeah. So move from a lot of restlessness towards this vibrant tranquility, this present awakeness, or from this sense of dullness, lifting that up into a state with more vibrancy, without losing the tranquility. Yeah, so it's quite spacious, quite alive, energy's flowing, kind of opened up the channels, the experience like this. Interestingly, a practice that we've already been exploring can be utilized here, which is actually just opening out the awareness. Actually opening out the awareness, intentionally opening out that awareness, can bring energy to the dullness, and opening up that awareness can bring a sense of tranquility. Did I say that right? Vibrancy to the dullness, and opening up the space brings a sense of tranquility to the restlessness. Very interesting. It's just the same practice actually can work in the same, in opposite ways to bring us to the same place. What a complicated sentence. Yeah. But I think you get what I'm talking about. There is the possibility, though, to kind of play a little bit within those images. And I have these two images of a balloon that I like to share. Yeah. So we talked a bit about samadhi. And I think Zohar used the phrase gathering. Remember, gathering in well-being. Is that right? Did you say it that way? So if you're going to have a gathering, you've got to have balloons, right? It's that kind of a party. So the idea there is what kind of balloons should we have in this kind of event? So I don't know if the order really matters, but the first one can be a sense of like releasing and opening in this way. So it's quite towards an effortless, towards an undoing. And the image for me that works with this is that, you know, if you have a hot air balloon, normally they start filling up a hot air balloon that's going to, with the basket underneath, that can carry you up into the sky. Yeah. So normally it'd be tied down by ropes while you fill it up. And then once it's full and the people are inside or the load is inside, you start untying the ropes and the hot air balloon just lifts, right? Its nature was to lift, to expand, to grow. Yeah. And so our sense here is actually awareness is huge. It's just enormous. Yeah. And what we stop doing is pulling it back in. Yeah. It's like you're squeezing it back in here. You just let go of that and it expands. It opens. And I find this one really helpful with the restlessness. It's like, oh, let's just stop pulling it in. Stop pulling it in. And out it goes. Expands and goes out. So this is one of those places where these teachings are quite poetic, and the Buddha was quite a poet in giving those images. And that might work for you. It might not. You might not connect on that level, but that's fine. That sense of effortlessness can be really helpful when we're over-efforting or there's a lot of restlessness energy in the space. So that's one balloon image. You don't have to then go in the balloon, up in the balloon, see everything from above or whatever. It's just an image to have that sense, untying, undoing, releasing, opening. The other one, which is also a really fun one to play around with, is a sense of kind of like stretching out the awareness. And for me, this is a bit more like being inside the balloon. Yeah. Instead of an inflated balloon, somehow I've gotten inside a balloon and I'm pushing out the awareness around. It's not quite like a balloon because it actually stays out for a little bit. But slowly it starts to shrink back in. You know, stretch it back out. You don't need to use your hands. I'm being the metaphor. You don't need to do this. So there's a sense that the awareness around you now, you just stretch that out. And you stretch it out through the whole body and a little bit of space around the body. And what's curious, even though it takes effort to do that, to kind of stretch it out in that way, can start to bring energy. Starts to actually generate a sense of energy around the body, lifting, pushing out behind, above, and just a little bit of space around there, trying to hold that out while you're also then still feeling the breath, keeping that stretched out, and it will start to shrink, yeah, keeping it out in that way. So we'll experiment with those, and you'll be able to see for yourself if they do things to your energy. We're also kind of playing a little bit with this sense that the breath, which seems like a physical, anatomical kind of thing, can actually be seen as an energy that's kind of flowing through different energetic states. Yeah. So again, it's a metaphor, you know, and chi and prana and energy and all those things may be real, may not be real. I don't know. For me, I don't really mind. It's just that this can be a tool for changing the physical and changing the psychic kind of exploration that we're having. And I think that that's what's helpful here. So we're using an image, maybe real, maybe not, in ways that kind of open up different ways of experiencing, elements of our experience. So the final thing to say before we step into a practice, we haven't said a lot about working with pain. Yeah. And if you are getting a lot of pain, speaking primarily now about physical pain, but you can also see the same patterns kind of move through psychological pain. When there's something painful, there tends to be kind of a contraction and a tightness. And one of two things happens. One is we kind of obsess about that pain. It gets most of the attention of our experience. And the other thing is we tend to kind of not really meet it. Yes. So that contraction around the pain is actually kind of a form of resistance to the pain. And certain like scientific and also meditative explorations have shown that what we tend to experience is the reactivity to the pain, not actually the pain sensations themselves. The pain sensations themselves are kind of within that reactivity. And what we're contacting is like, oh, I don't want this. That's the main, you know, experience with the pain. And seeing if it's possible to soften that, I don't want this, and we can actually get to know the pain underneath. So a technique that we can use for this is, again, about the space. So we're talking about energy, but also talking about space. So if you have a sensation that feels painful, how far out do you need to come before you get to kind of a sense of experience where it's not too painful? Right? There must be a boundary to it, even though we sometimes say, my whole body is in pain. You can probably find some parts that aren't actually so painful. You can come out around that to a place where it feels, okay, it's not too painful there. And then what happens if we breathe here with that breath energy, rich with that kindness and care, just out here? Right? So we're kind of attending to this area, but not so directly. And then just seeing what happens, because what will be happening is that there isn't that reactivity. There isn't that rejection. And then we can see how much of the experience is impacted by that reactivity, yeah, resistance. And you might find, you know, just removing as much as we can of the reactivity might allow us to come closer and actually have a different kind of relationship with the pain. So pain is a form of energy, and our reactivity to it is a form of energy, and those two things can compound and lead to suffering. And just have a little bit of time in the meditation just to explore. We're not trying to get rid of pain, but we're trying to see, how do we meet pain with less reactivity, more soothing, more ease? Okay, so let's have about half an hour of practice with this, and I'll go through these three parts. So these three parts in this practice, we will be exploring these kind of different modes of attention, the more focus mode and the more receptive mode. We'll also spend a little bit of time working with pain in the way that we just described. And then we'll play around towards the end with these balloon ideas. Now, I would say that's too much to do in one meditation when you're doing it for yourself. What I would suggest is we're using this like a buffet table, have a little taste from each of these ideas. But the essential thing is becoming familiar with the experience, having a sense of, you know, what's here. Is there a lot of energy, or is there a feeling that we're too tight or too loose? That might be a nice way of regarding the practice. Or is there a lot of pain that we're needing to meet that's kind of drawing our attention? Let's start with a sense of how the body is how the energy of the body is expressing right now. Of how the heart feels in this moment. And how the thinking is. We'll start with breathing long and quite deep. If you're choosing to connect with the sound instead of a body sense, breath sense this time, feel free to go there. And we can start with just what's the impact of a few deep exhales. Really releasing, softening, grounding with the exhalation. And coming to the breath, inviting the breath to be longer, but maybe even more than that, to be slower. So not moving a lot of air, or more air than before. Long, slow breath. For a few breaths, maybe we'll just separate the in-breath and the out-breath and try and find our best way of attending to that. So maybe see if you can really bring a sense of this mode of the attention where you're really wanting to get to know. See if you can get to know the very first movements of that in-breath appearing. We're quite focused on that. Let the rest of the breath unfold by itself. And then you're ready for the next in-breath where you just feel the beginning movements. Where does that breath begin? Then relaxing. If you're working with the sounds, you can also just tend to notice the vibrations of emergence, the coming into being of the sounds that you're hearing. And again, let's see, next three in-breaths, really trying to be present. The beginnings of the in-breath, the fullness, all the way through the in-breath, the out-breath, happen by itself. Let's change that mode of attention to that more receptive mode. So try and pay attention to the in-breath. Really just allow it to meet you, to come to you. If you're listening to the arising of the sounds, don't seek out to find them. Just let them come to you. See how that feels. Different way of attending. Forget about the out-breath again. It's just the in-breath. Resting. Whatever you notice is fine. You notice nothing. You noticed everything. Both are fine. Again, inviting the breath to be long and slow, not overly forcing it. As comfortable as it feels to be. And having this sense of receiving, like a satellite dish receives messages from the stars. And then we can do the same with the out-breath. The exhalation, really trying to pay attention. Where does the exhalation begin? You start to feel beginnings of the movement of the breath. So it's quite that precise, focused attention. Letting the inhalation happen by itself. And let's change to this more receptive mode, receiving the out-breath. Maybe you miss a bit of the detail, that's fine. Just feeling how it feels. I'll leave you a bit of time just to practice with the breath and with the sounds, with the kind of mode of attention that feels appropriate. Not just the one that feels familiar, but what feels right now. Which one brings the energy to vibrant tranquility? You could also sense that this is not one mode or another mode, but ends of a spectrum of intensity and receptivity. Where's a good point on there for us to pay attention to the breath? Or the sound? You imagine this image, we actually have our fingers on this dial through the breath even. Perhaps we can notice that when there's a movement of the breath, we can really lean towards the receptive. That movement catches the heart-mind interest. But the stillness in between, how does the stillness feel? Maybe we move up towards more focus, intensity. We feel the stillness, and then as the movement comes back in, we move back down to the receptive. Let's see if for the next breath, really get into it, really find the details, the current, the warmth, the coolness. So if we really want to get to know it. We have a sense of getting into it as if you're within the breath. It's all around you. You're immersed in that breath, the breath energy, all the sounds that you're hearing. And then resting, relaxing. We'll just explore a little bit this sense of opening to the breath, receiving the breath, letting the core of your being be touched by the breath. Relaxed, gently receptive. Letting it in, letting it touch you. If we're with the sounds, just letting it flow through and be released. If this feels a supportive way to practice, we can come back to this later on. I just want to explain a little bit about working with the painful. So just see if there's anywhere in the body, an itch, a tickle, a place you'd like to move. We're just going to spend a couple of minutes with it as an energy. So it feels like a block or a tension or a hardness or a heat that's unwanted. Just open up around there and see if you can come wide enough around it till you get to somewhere a bit less painful, maybe more neutral, more tolerable. And you can come outside of the body sense, come as wide as you want it. Come outside of the room sense even. It's, feels that large. Have a few breaths, listen to this space with a sense of kindness and care. Not trying to get rid of the pain, treating it as if it's arisen to be met with kindness and care. Allowing, maybe even soothing. If the breath is breathing into around this area. Explore what kind of breath is helpful here. The receptive or the more focused. The attention's wandering, it's a little too vague. We could come a little closer to the painfulness. Breathing in there, feeling the unfamiliar experience of welcoming, allowing. These sensations to be here. Have a bit of time exploring how close to come. Don't rush it. Make sure that the kindness, the allowing is dominant. Exploring what kind of breathing is supportive. Being guided by the lessening of the reactivity. Each time it feels that the reactivity is less, maybe we can come closer to the pain underneath. But not rushing it. If you've had enough of that, you can come back to the breathing, the listening to sounds. I think we'll just close out with a little bit of playing around with the balloons. So we'll first stretch the balloon and then we'll release the balloon. Take about 3 minutes or so with each one. So just imagining, where is the awareness around the body right now? Maybe you can notice there's a whole body here. And that body has a sense of attention through it now as we attend to it. And we're going to expand that attention. And by expanding the attention, we extend the awareness. It's opening the attention to the space around the body. You know, so that can also be alive with attentive awareness, space around the body. Extending that out so it's about a hand's width around the body. If it makes sense, we can breathe into, through that space. So we're not just breathing the anatomy, we're kind of breathing a breath energy up and down around this space. Opening it a little bit wider now, at two hands width. Stretching it out so it becomes like a little cocoon, a little egg around us. There's a sense of breathing, maybe the in-breath breathes a current up the center and down the sides, breathing out, continues that current. Another hand's width around, a little cocoon or egg around us. It's going to shrink. Keep it open, above, behind, to the side. You might notice an increase in the energy sense. As we do that, stretching it out, it's going to shrink and stretch it out. Do a little longer if you wish, or you could just relax, rest. Let the breathing find its own rhythm again. And the other way of practicing with this in the last 3 minutes of this practice together is just going to be this sense that the awareness, wherever it is, as wide as it is, could be wider if we didn't pull it back in, focusing it around the body, the space. Just untie, release, relax. You don't even need to attend to anything. It's allowing awareness to expand behind you, in front of you, above you, out to the sides, beneath you. If we're untying it, releasing it. Whenever we find ourselves pulling it back in, just imagine untying a knot, releasing a grip. Maybe we can soften and open a little more, dissolve. Thank you for your practice and giving me the chance to explain a few of those ideas. If any of those feel helpful, feel free to just continue exploring it. It probably already makes sense that we can bring that into movement. You know, we could have a sense as we're moving, stretching out the energy or something like this, or maybe just releasing, allowing our awareness to be expansive and take in the whole space. So these different sensibilities or senses of energy and what we can do might be helpful.
Hope
you kind of enjoy those explorations. Can be helpful to notice just a little bit more about the energy, and that there's something that we can kind of do with it. Yeah. And some of the techniques we've used, and for some of us, it'll be like, wow, we can really change it, like from night to day. For others, it might just be a sense you can change it a little bit. And for some of us, it will be nothing happened. Yeah. Nothing really significantly changed. I'm going to go back to a different type of practice and feel very happy for you to do that, to do what feels right for you. Whatever feels right, do keep doing it, and do keep exploring, seeing how it can impact your experience. Okay, so we'll go into our flow of the half hour, half hour, half hour, and then we'll be back at 12 o'clock with any kind of questions and reflections, clarifications we can make about this practice. But it gives you a chance to kind of make it your own and explore what's helpful there. Okay, thank you.